Joshua said in Joshua 24:15, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." The right to choose is huge. In all the universe, the only one who completely, every day, all day long, gives everyone everywhere the right to choose and all they do is God and God alone. We make a zillion choices every day, all day. What to wear, when to get up, what to eat, how to respond or not, where to work, if at all, or to work too much, how we comb our hair, wash our hands, hold fork and knife, where to sit, who to talk to, and even how to interpret the words of those who talk to us. We choose our reactions, even though it doesn't feel like we are. Indeed, we are. Will you serve yourself, or will you serve the Lord? How do you choose? Well, I'm Social Porter, and it's another beautiful evening here at Outposts, at the end of Old Field Road, broadcast semi-live from the late evening cascading banks of the Ocklawaha River, where the trees gently lean over the river's edge, and every evening is pleasant. Thanks for stopping by on your way to, well, wherever it is you're headed. I'm going to step over to the kitchen and refill my water. So I'll be right back. So sit back, relax, tap your toe and dream a little, and I'll be right back. Spend a large portion of our time choosing. No matter how small, vague, or verifiable, we are constantly choosing. Choosing. Most of us learn to choose more wisely the older we get. Or we are supposed to. It's called maturity. And in that, wisdom is a chief element of happiness. Many avoid the difficulty of choosing by not resisting the easy complacency of indifference. But in choosing indifference, it is still a choice. Like giving no answer is an answer in itself, we are choosing to not reply. Choice and choosing is a cause and effect type of learning. One winter, our cat chose to jump on the wood stove. Once. That day I learned a cat will only jump on a hot wood stove one time. That day, the cat learned that if the stove is hot, don't jump there. In fact, don't jump on that stove ever again under any circumstances. I mean, I'm telling you, even when it was cold, you couldn't pick that cat up and put it on that wood stove. The cat made a choice by cause and effect to never jump on that stove again. And I must admit, when I was very young, I learned a very similar lesson about choosing to touch the hot stove or not. I think it would be prudent to look at the Bible and see what God chooses, and to understand the value of letting God choose for us, instead of us choosing to take matters into our own hands. That's right. He knows better than us. So we choose Him to make the right choice, then we follow His lead. There was a particular time when Israel decided they would choose instead of letting God choose, God being more wise and circumspect than they. And you know, circumspect means to take all things into account. 1 Samuel 10:17 to 19. Then Samuel called the people together to the Lord in Mizpah, and said to the children of Israel,
Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt, and delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians, and from the hand of all kingdoms, and from those who oppressed you. But you have today rejected your God, who Himself saved you from all your adversities and your tribulations. And you have said to Him,
No, set a king over us.
Now, therefore, present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your clans.
The Lord offered Himself to Israel as their king. Israel chose, saying,
Give us a man to rule over us.
So, God gave them a leader after their own heart, and Samuel made the announcement.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you have chosen a man over God to rule, here he is, from the tribe of Benjamin, son of Kish, the tall, the handsome, behold your new king, meet Saul, but you won't like it.
From there on, it was a downhill slide, all due to their poor choosing. Proverbs 12:26. The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. I've decided I don't need a lot of friends. I just need a few good ones. Not only that, but the idea of having a lot of friends is just too many choices, and I'm easily overwhelmed. It would seem that Americans love the dream of infinite choices, but I believe we would simply smother under having that many choices. I met a young man who had been in prison for 5 years. About 1 month after he was released, I invited him to go with me to lunch one day. And you know, like most burger places, the menu of possibilities literally stretches from one side of the building to the other. When he stepped into the burger place, he stood there, frozen. I thought he was thinking and resolving his choices down to something we could order. After a few minutes of standing and staring at the immense menu, I asked him what he wanted, and he said,
"Would it be all right if you just picked something and ordered for me?"
It dawned on me that I was used to having a massive menu to choose from, but he was used to having no menu at all to choose from. For 5 years, this young man had made no choices. He was told when to eat, when to sleep, bathe, exercise, what to wear, what to eat, when to stand up, when to sit down, even when to speak or not. He had not exercised his ability to choose in so long, the idea of simply getting a hamburger was overwhelming. Too many choices. And let's not forget, there are people in other countries who have virtually no choices and don't dream necessarily of having infinite choices, but dream of simply having any choices at all. On this idea of too many choices, having options is one thing, but our dream of having infinite choices is really not a good dream, but an invitation to suffocation. Through observation, I believe people love to live in the gray place of appearing to make no choice, so they can hover around the line of choosing until they can determine which side is to their advantage. That way, nobody has to be too hard to the left nor too hard to the right. But at some point in everyone's life, they must make a choice as to whose side they're on, heaven or hell. Oh, and that's a very uncomfortable decision, because the notion of choosing brings about responsibility for the outcome. 1 Kings 18, verse 21. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, "How long will you go limping around between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people did not answer him a word, and nobody made a move. This is worth saying more than once. The more obvious battle lines are drawn, the more obvious it is as to who is on the left and who is on the right. And having to firmly stand on one side of a line or the other makes most people very uncomfortable. I met a young woman once who had recently given her life to Jesus. She asked a question, and I thought it was profound. She said,
"Why is it I can say the name of any other worshipped thing and people don't care? But if I say the name of Jesus, people get upset."
The answer? The name of Jesus causes people to have to choose. His name alone is so powerful that even when spoken, it forces a choosing and a decision. Ever heard of game theory? Well, we all do some version of it. Game theory is where we play out different models of struggle and loss versus agreement and gain, always looking for the angle of greatest profit and least loss according to ourselves. Most of us do it without knowing we're doing it, but we're constantly choosing in the moment based on our ability to forecast where our choices will take us. And yes, it's a fact. Some choose better than others. The phrase,
play the whole movie,
means seeing the entire picture, visualizing where our actions will take us in the long run, and the inability or conscious decision to not play the whole movie quite often gets us into criminal thinking. Like the young people at universities today, they rage and rally, fight and demand because it looks like it's a good idea. But what is missing is that the system they are fighting for today is the system they will have to live with tomorrow. And it won't be all the roses, merry-go-rounds, and blue skies they originally thought.
They aren't playing the whole movie.
Those folks think more about the instant gratification rather than the far-reaching results, and their lives are truly a reflection of their consistently poor choosing. They don't care about the eventual outcome. They just want what they want, when they want it, how they want, and your loss is your problem. That is called a zero-sum game, in which one person's gain result in losses for the other participants, and many actually spend time strategizing on how to leverage the outcome in their favor at your expense. That's right, they do. Many people actually do that. They actually spend time strategizing how to leverage the outcome in their favor at your expense. No kidding. In the idea of game theory, there are always some consistent parts, like who are the players, what is the payoff, and how the value of the payoffs varies from player to player. The entire concept I'm presenting here is for the purpose of painting a picture of we the people who are constantly at the crossroads of deciding who to follow and for what payoff. And you can rest assured, my friends, there is always a payoff, and that can be in a good way or a bad way. Always measuring. In spite of that, I believe a large part of our society has simply resigned itself to just take whatever the majority decides, for better or worse, because the choosing is too great, and they don't feel like any choice they make will be one that bears any fruit anyway, other than simple day-to-day personal gratification. But with God, our choices can be so much larger, more impactful, and can bear good fruit. We may not feel we have any real choices in our present world, but God truly, really, really, is offering us a choice today and every day. Go with God? Good idea. Without God? Bad idea. Say it with me again. With God? Good idea. Without God? Bad idea. How long will we dance around, hovering between two ways to go?
If we go with the Lord, then go with Him. And if you don't, then don't.
If you do, you do. And if you don't, you don't. In the meantime, though, ask the Lord to help you play the whole movie. Truly consider the far-reaching results of electing to walk a different path without Christ. Thank you. Okay, now listen up. Check it out now. In Genesis 3, God is walking through the garden in the cool of the evening. He knows of the terrible choice of Adam and Eve, and the time to confront them is at hand. Remember, God's questions are all rhetorical. It's not like he doesn't know the answer. But he asks us questions that we would know the answer, not because he is bewildered. In verse 9, the Lord says, "Adam, where are you?" The word "where" in that question is not in the sense of asking Adam for a geographic location, but it is "where" with a choice. In other words, the Lord is saying, "What's with you, man? Whose side are you on, mine or the enemy?" And I say to you, my friend, where do you stand, and how firmly are you standing there? You can't stand on both sides of the line of choosing at the same time and call that a decision. That's pretty shallow. And we can easily drown in shallow things. Think about that. Oh yes, the Lord our God is going to, very clearly, as never before, draw the lines of battle, a line of choosing. The line will be drawn very obviously, and it will be known that it is the Lord, the one and true God, that does the work. People will, at first, marvel at the wonders, but hell will fight back from high places because the wonders and miracles worked through God's people will continually thwart the plans of darkness. The people owned by darkness in high places will plot to put down, wipe out, and prevent what they will label as demonic doings and gross witchcraft, even though it is obvious no one except the Lord himself had done and can do the wonders and marvels. Their dark hearts will condemn them in their sleep, for in their heart of hearts they will know it is the hand of God, and that they have refused him. God is drawing the line very plainly, and will continue to clarify the line of choosing, because, again, the more obvious and plain the line is, the more obvious and plain it is upon which side of the line we all stand. It is for yet a little while Zion's gates remain open. For while they are open, it is because I, the Lord, do declare them open, open for all that would enter. But when the gates are closed, they most assuredly are closed and will not even crack open for one more. I alone, the Lord of hosts, will name them closed. On that day the mist of conflict will be blown aside, for I will command the wind from my mountains to remove the mist of contention, and all eyes will be opened, and all living, all dead, and all spirits above and below shall behold the glory and excellence of the Holy of Holies. The light of my presence will permeate all spirits, and those that have chosen me will be blessed, for they are within. Those without will wail and cry and will hurt themselves, for all things will be evident and all will be revealed. Those outside will curse themselves for their willingness to be deceived, open rebellion, and conscious poor choices. I, the Lord, have drawn the line of choosing and do forewarn to all that we are fast approaching that line, and I will soon pick up the pace again. All will bow in the end, whether in blessing or cursing, all will bow. Every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Lord and God, and no mouth will refuse, nor will be able to halt. Every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess, and it won't be a request. Amen. Thank you. So, friends, which side of the line of choosing do you stand on? The clouds of contention and obscurity are being blown aside. The line of choosing is becoming more and more obvious. And the more obvious the line of choosing becomes, the more necessary a decision needs to be made. This has been Outposts, Cool Jazz and Contemplative Conversation, a fine establishment in the crook of the river at the end of Old Field Road. I'm Social Porter, and this program has been brought to you by Living in His Name Ministries, Sammy and Myrtle Allen, that crackerjack of a guy Jimmy Korn at the Hot Spot, Eula Lancaster, old buddy Eddie over at Area 22 Guitars, and Trinity Bakers, where there's always something good in the oven. Music was by the Pete Menger Quartet, Gary Willis, Phil Keggy, Kenny Kirkland, and Shadowfax. All music use is licensed by BMI. Friends, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of this world or the God of heaven and earth. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Be strong and courageous, and go in peace. Amen.